Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to podcast number 46 in the Cooler Chronicles saga of UTSA football and other sports podcasting extravaganza. Unfortunately, neither Adam are with me tonight, as both of them are grown-ass men with grown-ass jobs and like babies and stuff. So the torch was passed on to me to record my first individual podcast, and I had some trouble finding someone that was available to hop on it with me today. But thankfully, Javi from InsideUTSA.com was kind enough to give up about an hour of his time to shoot together a very important podcast for us with Oklahoma State coming into town this week. So, Javi, if you just want to introduce yourself real quick, let the listeners know what's up.
Guys? If you guys didn't or know me, I work for Rivals. Used to be a pretty Twitter hardcore guy, but Mike persuaded me to help him out with his new adventure. Pretty cool gig. So you got most of the hardcores know me, but if you don't, hello. Pretty excited to be on here. Always been listening. Let's get it going.
All right, cool. So naturally, the first thing we're going to talk about is just kind of recapping everything that went down last week. Personally, I was fortunate enough to make it out to the game in Albuquerque. Big shout out to Joe from Texas College Gear. He has several locations in town. Hardcore UTSA supporter. You know, he's an alum, post on the Rowdy Talk message boards and everything. I mean, he's been selling merchandise for UTSA since probably before they had, like, even thought of having a football team. So it's cool that he was one of the pioneers for that.
Yeah, and he was advocating for a long time for people to sign up. It was pretty cool. I mean, last year for South Alabama, they tried to get something going. Didn't really work out that well. This year, it seemed like a very well-organized trip he got going on.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like that last week, it sounded like the bus trip was not going to happen. And then finally, like the last 2 days, he was able to pull everything together and find a bus driver and all that. So it was about me and, you know, 15 to 20 others that all made the trip up together. We left from Walmart on De Zavala at about 10:45 p.m. or so. And with the time change, I think we got to our hotel in Albuquerque at like 9:45, 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, so considering you having to take stops for the bus driver, it was a pretty quick little trip.
How was the actual bus ride?
It wasn't bad. There were a group, okay, like most of the younger folk, the students and young alumni, we all kind of gathered in the back, which became like the de facto like drunk section.
the cool kids club.
Right, pretty much. So it was like me and Juan and John, two guys that post on Rowdy Talk and go to all the games, like big student supporters. And then there were like five or six guys that all graduated together, and then one of their students, and they were all from, I think they were Kappa Sigma fraternity, but man, those guys were a blast. Ian, well, there were actually two Ians. The rest of their names escape me, but they had a cooler filled up with like some jungle juice, which
made it an interesting trip.
Yeah, for our listeners that have been out of college for a while, pretty much you just throw in some juice, throw in some vodka, rum, whatever's laying around, and you just drink it and. You know, whatever it tastes like, that's what it's going to taste like, but it's going to get the job done, you know what I'm saying? So that cooler was just kind of passed around, and we all had our own concoctions as well. So the drive up was pretty fun during the dark, kind of meet everyone and stuff. Made a couple stops at like 3 a.m., and, you know, some weird stuff goes on in the truck stops at 3 a.m. out in West Texas. So definitely an adventurous trip. Yeah.
How was the actual tailgating there, though?
Well, it's hard to say because whenever we pulled up with the bus, I guess Joe had made an arrangement with, like, their tailgating coordinator, and they actually made us, like, tailgate on our own, like, completely away from the stadium and from all the other tailgaters. They had us in the parking lot of the pit, which is, like, their basketball arena. So that really sucked because we didn't get to, like, really interact with UNM fans. I did make a beer run with my friend who flew in from Dallas, and we walked around the stadium to go to the gas station and walk back. And on our way back, we walked past, I guess, like the outlying section of their tailgating area. And they had one lot that was pretty full. If I could compare it to the Alamo Dome, I would say, like, imagine, like, lot B is pretty much filled up, but there are no other lots anywhere. So what they had was nice, but it wasn't very big.
we're pretty lucky then to have like a great tailgating scene.
Yeah,
I
mean,
other Mountain West teams maybe, or even Conference USA.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, of course. And our attendance is much higher too. Like their stadium was like almost filled, and I think it was only like 24,000. So cool. we're looking at possibly doubling that attendance for our game this week.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to other schools, I mean, Texas Tech can barely fill their stadium.
Right, yeah.
Aren't they playing like Texas A&M?
Prairie View? Well, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, funny how that works out. But okay, I made a vow to not care about Texas State as much this year, so I'm gonna stay off that train.
It's hard to, man. Like every time I see somebody post something like negative towards UTSA, it takes so much not to be like, oh, like say something back. But gotta move on, man. I'm looking forward to the North Texas folk. Like during Thanksgiving, see what they have to say about us.
Yeah, but everyone. Well, okay, like 90% of the people that I met in New Mexico that were Lobo fans were just awesome, fantastic fans. They weren't like really super hardcore about football because UNM kind of is a basketball school, really.
Yeah,
you know, they're like kind of like a mid top 25 program.
I mean, last year they were expected to go far before they lost to Harvard, I believe.
Yeah,
it was hard because I had them in my bracket going far, so yeah, it was hard.
Yeah, so yeah, pretty good experience all in all. Every time I go on a road trip, I think this is my third or fourth one, just makes me appreciate our fans and the Alamo Dome so much more. We did have a really, really good contingent.
How many people do you think?
I would eyeball it at about like 200 to 300 fans. I saw someone throw out the 400 number, but I'd say it's a little bit less than that.
Was it more than just the players' families? Or was it actual like fans that?
No, yeah, I mean the players' families were there in force as always. Of course, they're all great, especially like the Grubbs, the Kavanaughs, the Kerfish. Man, those people are very, very fired up about UTSA football. So it's very fun to sit with them for a change instead of in the student section. But no, there were actually quite a few students there. Like randomly, people that I knew from school like showed up, and I'm like, "Whoa, I didn't even know you were a football fan!" And then they showed up in Albuquerque to watch the game.
Oh, yeah, that's good, man. I mean,
right?
Like, well, football brings up people who you have no idea care about the school.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of alumni. I think a lot of alumni that live in New Mexico made the trip. I think there were more than I bargained for on that end. But it was cool because when we got there, like I guess they kind of had spread out our tickets all over the visitor side. So I just went around, me and some other guys, and we just like saw people wearing UTSA stuff. I'm like, hey, there's plenty of seats down here where all the parents are sitting. Y'all should come sit with us so we can at least like centralize our noise to like be loud, you know?
Speaking of contingents, you guys look pretty pumped up on the TV, man.
We had a lot to cheer about, you know?
Yeah, man, that was good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, good segue into the actual game. What do you think? I mean, a bunch of people like thought that UTSA was going to put up like pretty good numbers against New Mexico. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be a pretty low scoring affair.
Yeah, and I think if you're watching closely, you could see that the opportunity for a high score from the offense was there. I think that the Evans Okocha fumble hurt a lot because, you know, obviously,
I mean, that was a pretty good drive they had going on. Like,
right? They were moving the ball well. I think they had three first downs in a row in like four or five plays.
And then, curiously, after that, it was, I believe, like five or six straight punts.
Right.
Like the offense just completely shut down.
Yeah. So they lost a lot of steam on that, which was just a random fumble too. Like Evans like had both hands on the ball. Just the guy's helmet happened to pop out like in the perfect spot.
Flew up like 10 feet in the air, like perfectly on that guy's hand.
Yeah, so I think Souza kind of tensed up a little bit. You know, the first game jitters, you want to go out there and throw for 500 yards. Like, I think I told some people that I thought Souza would break the school record for passing yards just because, just because their cornerbacks were so bad. But there were definitely a lot of open targets, especially on those deep routes.
It didn't really seem like Souza had, like, I mean, he's never been a deep ball quarterback.
No.
But he definitely didn't seem like he had the accuracy on the deep ball, which they were, like, trying that every other, like, pretty often.
Yeah, because it was open.
Yeah, it was open. I mean, but either the ball was too high or behind them or too far in front or just not anywhere close. He could just never get the ball on target.
Right. There were two plays that stuck out to me in particular. The first one was, like, Aaron Holmes on a post route where he got good 5 to 6 yards of separation on a really short DB where it would have been an easy catch for him. And I think it actually did hit him in the hands, but Sosa just kind of pushed it past Holmes just a little bit where, you know, he would have had to reach out for it instead of just like guiding it into his arms. And that definitely would have been a big, big gain, like probably a 30-yard pass.
It seemed like Sosa was trying to go to Holmes early, but they didn't seem to connect. I mean, he only has one catch for 9 yards, but he had to be targeted at least like 3 or 4 times early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. And then there was another pass where I think it was Aaron and Grubb on a slant route over the middle.
Yeah, and he threw it behind him.
Right, and there was like no safety on that side of the field.
Yeah, he could have got a first down.
Well, no, I think he would have scored on it because Grubb's a pretty quick guy. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so those are the two plays that, you know, if not would have been scores, would have been really big gains. And, you know, when you're playing a team like New Mexico that's going to slow the game down, if you don't make those big plays like that, then you're just not going to put the numbers up.
Speaking of big plays, man, Cam Jones was just, like, electric. Like, I hadn't seen him do that stuff since, like, maybe South Alabama last year.
Yeah. It was obvious that Kevin Brown made a concerted effort to get the ball into Cam's hands, and it definitely paid off. He's the type of guy that once he gets in the tempo, like, once he gets his gears going, like, good luck stopping him. Like, he's just too physical and too quick to be an easy tackle for anyone. And that showed on that last play, on that last drive, when Cam...
That was the defining moment of that drive right there.
Yeah. Cam just caught the ball in a hitch route, and he took, like, four dudes off the field with him.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Bias pretty much grabbed him and was like, let's go, man. Like,
yeah, that's one of my favorite plays of all time already for the Roadrunner program.
Just epic play of all time.
Yeah, it just gives you the chills watching the teammanship. Yeah, so that was beautiful.
I mean, let's go through the scoring drives. The first one for UTSA was the easy David Glasgow 1 yard run, no big deal. But then the 38-yard pass from Sosa, Brandon Armstrong, was that the exact same play they ran in New Mexico State? Remember where Evans Okocha caught it? He had no one on him.
No,
he ran a weird route and scored. Like, that seemed like the exact same play to me.
No, it was the same route from the running back, but I don't think it was the same play because I don't remember many times last year UTSA lining up with four wide receivers and a pistol back. That's kind of a new wrinkle in it, and it might have thrown New Mexico's linebackers off.
Because, I mean, when you go back and watch the replay, like, the middle linebacker completely just, like, bites on a wide receiver, and Brandon's just, like, by himself.
Yeah, he could have walked in. I could have scored on that.
Seriously.
That's just broken coverage. That's bad. So I think running out with the pistol caught UNM off guard. So even though they weren't able to get it going in the run offense, which I thought was weird because they never ran that read option that they ran a lot of last year, and I don't remember.
At least they didn't run that ugly option to the shorts.
No, they did. They did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did. And it was a 2 or 3 yard loss. I made a mental note on that one.
I remember last year watching against like Utah State and like San Jose. We were just like dying in the sideline because they kept running the same damn play to the shorts.
So. I know, man, that play just drives me nuts, guys.
Yeah. I mean, the 99-yard drive to seal the win, like, obviously, I mean, I didn't think UTSA had that in them, like, at all. Everybody knows they improved and they got better and bigger and stronger, but if you would have told me, UTSA is going to drive 99 yards to only up one with 5-6 minutes left to win the game, I would have been like, no.
It was
incredible.
Yeah, that's where having experience and good leadership comes into play. Because 90% of the football teams out there that get the ball in the 1 yard line, they just assume they're not going to score. And they're like, well, let's push the ball over the field until we can punt it and get in good field position. And to most coaches and offensive coordinators, that's an okay mindset to have. But when you got a team that's got a senior quarterback and you got guys out here that have started, you know, 15 to 20 games in their time at UTSA, there's a different level of expectation. And like, you know, the guy standing next to you has been through the trenches and he knows what, you know, Coker expects, that they can go out and be like, hey guys, like, we can do it and we can seal the game. So let's go for it. And they just came out guns blazing. Was it like a 6 or an 8 play drive?
It was an 8 play drive, 99 yards.
Yeah.
Four minute long.
Yeah, just ridiculous. And
yeah, I mean, every single play was positive. Like, right. It started off with a Marcellus Mack, I think, reception, and then they just kept going from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like we haven't talked about the defense enough, because really the defense was the star of the game.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, you can't argue with that.
The offense, like, scores the points, but the defense was just ridiculous.
Right. I mean, for them to stop UNM on 3rd and inches and then to come back and stop them again on 4th and inches, like, I don't care if you're playing a peewee team. Like, that is impressive to do. I mean, just to have the discipline and to, like, physically beat the guy in front of you at the line of scrimmage says a
lot.
Honestly,
I wouldn't want to be a running back going up against Brian Price and Rashad Mayberry right now. Like,
yeah, Richard Burge was big time,
yeah,
too.
And Richard Burge. Yeah. Like, and everybody, Macon, Burge, like, the whole crew. I didn't think we were going to be that good. Like, I mean, I knew their rotation was going to be good, but mm-hmm. I didn't expect them to dominate the way they did.
Yeah, I thought that it was going to be an automatic improvement just because the depth was going to be there, because there's just more bodies this year on the D-line. But I didn't factor in how much bigger the D-line would get just from working in the weight room. Like, all the starters are over 250.
Mm-hmm.
And even the second-string guys, the smallest guy is Ritter, and he's like 235.
Yeah.
So, it's very impressive. Jaron Harris looked like a different animal. Cody Brooks, too.
He slimmed down, man.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, both of those guys look like SEC defensive ends, man.
Yeah, like,
it's crazy.
Where were they, like, all this time?
Mm-hmm.
Cody Brooks, I mean, he got the SWAT at the end.
Yeah.
Sealed the deal.
That's another guy, just a complete body transformation. Like,
yeah.
He looked like a foot taller. It was insane.
It's crazy what the, like, a year of weight room does to somebody.
Yeah, hey, kids, drink your Metrex, your muscle milk. Pays off. All right. So, any other spare thoughts about New Mexico?
We need to get a consistent running game. Like, we can't have, mm-hmm. like, Cam Jones lead the team, or Sosa lead the team in rushing.
Yeah.
And Cam Jones is number two. I mean, we just can't have that.
Yeah, Sosa didn't even have 50 yards either.
Yeah, Glasgow carried the ball 8 times for 32 yards. Like, he had 2 touchdowns, but still. Mm. Like, we got to get a running game, like,
right,
somehow.
Yeah. I think that the defense that New Mexico was running, that 3-3 defense, kind of made it hard for a lot of the plays that our offense is built for on the running side. You know, just having 3 linebackers, it's hard because you have to block at the second level more. And that's something that probably Peyton Ryan and Jordan Gray on the right side can do a little bit better because they're smaller guys. But Inskeep, like, does well in sweeps, like, on lateral movement, but it's kind of a different move to, like, come up to that second level and, you know, defend against a pretty quick linebacker.
Oh, and so. Last observation before we move on with New Mexico, Peyton Ryan and Jordan Gray played pretty good.
I mean, I thought Jordan Gray did great. I mean,
yeah.
I was having my eye on him just because, like, he was, like, the new kid on the line. You kind of know what you're getting with Peyton Ryan, just a dependable guy. Like, he's not going to overpower anyone, but he's not going to mess up a lot.
Which is what they need, really.
Right, I mean, yeah.
What else do you want?
That's what they got. Yeah, but I was real impressed with Jordan. He locked his guys up in protection,
I mean,
really well.
What is it, QB to tight end to offensive lineman? Like, that's pretty good.
Right, yeah, it's just crazy. And it speaks a lot about UTSA's player development. I mean, this is a guy that nobody really wanted out of high school. Don't think he had any offers. First guy out of his high school to go FBS in like 12 years or something like that. And now he's starting for a Conference USC team at offensive tackle. Like, you just got to tip your hat to the coaching staff.
He's special, man. He works his old man magic on them.
I know, right? So, pretty exciting. I mean, it just gives you all the more reason to not worry so much about offensive line recruiting, because the guys that Marshall gets, he turns them into studs.
I mean, I prefer for us to still get like 2 to 3 star guys
though. Oh, yeah, naturally, but it's not doing doom and gloom.
Like, have to build these guys up
right
every single time.
Yeah. All right. Oh. So, what did you think of the Gausch and the Carrier guys? Were you a little bit
man,
disappointed?
No. I mean, Carrier, I mean, I think that's just the fact that Price and Mayberry and the whole D-tackle crew did a pretty good job on him.
Mm-hmm.
Gausch, he wouldn't go down, man. Like, I mean, UTSA did such a good job of staying with the pitch man. So it left the running lanes open for him every time. And
right.
usually it was either a linebacker or a safety that got to him, and it would take two hits to bring him down. Brian King, I saw a couple times, like, missed. Cody Berry couldn't bring him down the first time. Like, he was just a hard guy to, like, get down.
Yeah, Gausch was, like, so Colin Klein that it blew my mind. Like, I could just picture him in the Kansas State uniform making these runs.
But he sucks. He sucks at throwing.
Like, right, yeah. That's also my point, that Colin Klein's not really playing in the NFL right now because he can't throw the damn ball.
The Tim Tebow effect right there.
Yeah, so I think that's a guy they should look at moving to, like, H-back or tight end or something, because he was a great weapon.
He was running people over.
Right, yeah.
I mean, until Macon just, like, completely, like, pile-driving
him. Oh, man, I've never seen Macon have a hit like that before, dude.
He just, like, slammed him down.
Yeah, it was like a wrestling move.
I just, like, on the replay, you just see him try to get up, and then he's just like, oh, crap.
Yeah. All right, well, UNM's in the books, I guess. 21-13.
1-0.
So, why don't you tell us about your experience watching the game?
Well, it was pretty good, actually. I had to go to my Plan B watch party. Some complications came up watching with Mike and Wes, so I had to move over and go with Chris Allison from Rowdy Talk and a couple of the guys over there to this new place right behind UTSA, the Block. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, but man, I had actually had a lot of fun. They were gonna set up like a big screen and stuff. It didn't really work out. I mean, no biggie. It was like their first opening, I think. I'm sure when they get that figured out. When they get that figured out, I mean, it's going to be a place that's going to be packed every time. I can just see, like, the food trucks. Like, the food was pretty good, actually. I ate dinner there. Like, it was legit. Like, once students get, like, wind of it, like, people are just going to flock to that place. And I think Chris is going to work out a deal with them, and they're going to be the official hosting place of Rowdy Talk. I mean, it's unofficial yet, but it should be pretty fun, man. Like, if you guys have a chance to, like, get out there, check it out. Like, I'm sure you guys will love it. There's, like, a bunch of – a pretty cool, like, hangout place for, like, a Friday night or something.
Yeah, I actually went to the Block as soon as I got back from New Mexico, from Albuquerque. And I was pretty hyped up about it because I'm a big fan of, you know, food trucks and, you know, just like, cool, like, outdoor drinking establishments. Like,
that is exactly what that is.
Right, yeah. I prefer, like, the open space, kind of play in the grass a little bit more than a bar. Like, Friendly Spot's my favorite bar in town. So this is, like, UTSA's own version of that.
No, yeah. I mean, and it's, like the beer selection is pretty basic, but it's pretty good. I'm not 21 yet, so I can't drink, but from what I heard, the prices were pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I was surprised at how reasonable the prices were for alcohol.
Once they get, like, their logistics figured out with, like, the food trucks and the bar situation and, like, people working there, it's gonna be good, man. Like, you can just tell, like, and the guy who owns it or the people who owns it are, like, UTSA alums. It's kind of cool to, like, have somebody from UTSA own it. There's not somebody that came in and, like, went and started a business. So, I mean, we're supporting Roadrunners, you know? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, so on the Sunday night that I went there, I got a chopped brisket nacho plate.
I saw that. Yeah, I was actually debating whether to get that or not.
You did wrong then. It was only $7, and I couldn't even finish it. So, you know, it's a good deal, obviously. Yeah, and I talked to the guy that ran that barbecue truck place, and he said that they weren't even planning to open until this upcoming Friday.
Yeah, Chris was telling me that when he got there pretty early. They were still setting up the TVs and stuff.
Yeah.
And before the game even started, they were, like, trying to fix the sound and, like, you know, the little things that you have to do when you're opening up a new place. So, yeah, I mean, and they didn't have any UTSA signage or anything. Like, they were still getting all that together. It's pretty cool that they got it up in time.
Yeah, the Sunday that I went, they had five trucks there. Only two or three of them were operational because they either sold out or, like, their workers had gone home or whatever. But they did have UTSA, like, little flag things up over, like, the bar seating area.
Yeah. See, they barely put those. Like, those weren't even up when we sat down. Like, they put those while.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, like, that's how, like, new it was. Like, nobody, like, that was the first time it even opened. And it wasn't really the official opening.
Yeah, it was like a soft opening.
Yeah, definitely.
And on the Sunday I had, they even had a guy out there playing cover songs on an acoustic guitar. So it really added to like the very calm and chill ambiance there.
Yeah, the music selection was pretty good. I mean, we were mostly listening to the game, but...
Right. Yeah, so it's definitely going to be a big hit at UTSA. Yeah. I mean, oh my God, the Sunday night I was there, there were probably like 50 or 60 people there on a Sunday at like 10 o'clock.
Oh man, like during the game, like the line was a good like 15 minutes to 20 minutes long. Like it was crazy. It was full. I mean, they wanted to be a family environment, but like it's not going to be that. It's going to be like a student hangout. For sure. I mean, it's right behind UTSA.
Yeah, well, I think it just depends on, you know, the time of day and day of the week.
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's going
to
shift.
Like, Thursday night, it's going to be pretty wild out there. But I think if you take the kids out on a Monday to, like, play washers and, you know,
eat some good food.
Yeah,
like,
I think that'd be good to take your kids to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad a business is doing well.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think they're going to be overwhelmed because the demand for a bar scene at UTSA is, like, so outrageously high that... Like, they're just going to have to either expand or, like, open up another bar or something.
I mean, but that's, like, I'm glad, man. Like, that guy's, like, one of us, you know, so to speak. I'm glad he's going to do well with his business.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that Roadrunner Way, where it curves and then it connects with Hosman, I think might end up being the new UTSA bar area. There's an apartment complex there, but they're really old. So, like, it is feasible that someone could buy it out and bulldoze it and just set up, like, you know, like a strip mall of bars.
We should start the Jared Fund for bar scene.
Yeah, we'll have Maddie throw up a Tailgate SA headquarters.
Exactly, right there. He can just set up all his shenanigans right there.
Yes, awesome. Fantastic. All right, so y'all check out the bar. You know, it's UTSA establishment owned and operated by alumni and student. So can't go wrong. Something for everyone.
Let's talk about some Conference USA, week one Conference USA.
Yeah, so luckily I was able to catch quite a few Conference USA games and then highlights on YouTube as well. I was pretty hungry for football the first week.
Seriously,
naturally.
I'm pretty sure. I think all of us were.
Yeah. Hey, if anyone has a Watch ESPN account they want to hook me up with so I can, like, watch games and, like, give you better insight into the teams, holler at me.
My awesome analysis.
Actually, in fact, if you have cable and you don't even use your ESPN account, let me know. I'll set it up for you.
I will go to your house.
Yeah, I mean, I wish ESPN would just let me pay like $150 a year.
Wow. Would you really pay that?
Oh, dude, I pay more money than that to watch MLB games, and that's just for MLB.
Dang. I mean, I kind of take it for granted. I have it on my Xbox, and it's there.
Well, I mean, you got to think about how much I would pay for cable otherwise. Like, I think even for basic cable, you're paying like $500 to $600 a year. With taxes included. So, like, for me to pay $140 to watch baseball really isn't that bad because that's all I watch. And it would be the same thing with football, basketball, whatever, on ESPN.
That's true.
So, that's the future of content distribution. And if ESPN doesn't want anything to do with it, then bring on Fox Sports 1.
Don't give ESPN your money. Just yet.
Yeah.
All right. So, who impressed you week one?
Let's see. I think my biggest surprise team was probably Tulane.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, they played like Jacksonville State, I believe it was, who was a pretty awful FCS team. But Tulane looked sharp, man. The score was 34-7, and you know they didn't really make an effort to run the score up. I think they played like multiple quarterbacks.
I mean, speaking of teams that impressed, North Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Idaho is like the closest thing you can get to an FCS team that's not, but... I mean, still, to put up 40 points and only give up 6 against, like, a FBS school, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they played in style, too. They looked really good.
Yeah, I'm happy for Adam. I'm sure he had to enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm thinking UNT might end up on the top 3 of the western side of the conference this year just because the other teams have looked pretty bad.
Speaking of disappointment, Louisiana Tech just got awful.
Ah, man, I saw that one coming, and I can't believe that other people didn't. I mean, you're talking about a team that lost their coach, going from an air raid offense to like a power running offense, lost their quarterback, lost all five of their offensive linemen, several players on defense, and like 32 seniors.
the only bright spot for them is Kenneth Dixon.
Right.
He's like, he's an animal, but that's about it.
Yeah, but if he doesn't have a line to run behind,
what's the point?
Good luck.
Let's see, running on the West, Rice put up a hell of a fight against A&M.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, Rice is the team to beat in Conference USA, man.
The thing is, people didn't even know that they were missing two of their best defensive players.
Yeah, they were missing Nwosu at linebacker.
Nwosu and Phillip Gaines. I mean, right. Phillip Gaines, wasn't he picked, preseason all-defense or whatever?
First team all-conference at cornerback.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else? Tulsa, another disappointment.
Yeah, those guys got ran through the shed by a pretty good Bowling Green team.
Yeah,
but
that's true, but still, man, Bowling Green, come on.
Yeah, Tulsa was actually the underdog in that game, but, man, they just got wrecked on. It was kind of embarrassing.
Really? I mean, when you're picked, when you're, a top-two Conference USA West team, you can't allow Bowling Green to beat you 34-7.
Yeah, my take on that is that Cody Green, who plays quarterback for Tulsa, is a Nebraska transfer, and he looked okay last year, but most of their offense was just handing the ball off and letting their huge, senior-laden offensive line just kind of mow over everybody, and Green had all day to throw the ball. And now, with their offensive lineman out of the program, it's like Green has to make quick reads, and he's got to, improvise on the fly, kind of.
Oh, wow, Green even got benched during that game. I didn't even know that.
Right, yeah. He got benched too late. He got benched right at the end of the game.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. I had that guy in my top three quarterbacks in Conference USA.
Right, and I think a lot of that is that he has the factor that he's a transfer from an AQ conference. So I think a lot of people have a perception of him that isn't actually based in actuality. Like, he's kind of had an easy job so far playing for Tulsa. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So
let's see, on the East Carolina did what East Carolina was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Old Dominion, man, they put up a good fight.
Oh, yeah. I've said for a while now that Old Dominion, they're going to be competitive year one. First year of Conference USA.
I mean, if you look at the recruiting, they're already middle of the pack recruiting-wise to, even the upper, recruits.
Yeah, they're going to be right in the fight for the division championship their first year next year, because East Carolina is going to be out of the picture.
Marshall did pretty good. Mm-hmm. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, Cato was as good as advertised. He went 22 for 34, about 250 yards and 5 touchdowns. Played Miami, Ohio.
Pretty good team, by the way.
Yeah, they're middle of the pack in the MAC.
Tennessee did pretty good against West Carolina, whoever that is.
Yeah, West Carolina is an awful. I think they were winless last year. So it's really hard to get a good feel for that team. They do play at North Carolina this week, so I think we'll know if they're legit or not after that.
Yep. On ESPN, True Jared, you're not going to be able to see it.
Oh, I have my ways, Javi.
Russian internet fees.
Yep.
Let's see, we got Florida Atlantic. They lost to Miami. Expected. I mean, they're not that good.
Yeah, the two Florida schools sure have looked awful.
Florida International, they also lost against Maryland, expected. We get to Southern Miss. They lost to our buddies over at Texas State. Dang.
Yeah, that was a 9-point upset, I think.
Wow, that's crazy. I thought Southern Miss was going to roll over Texas State.
I don't know why. They went 0-12 last year.
For some reason, I thought they were going to win.
Yeah, UAB played a hell of a game against Troy.
Yep.
Yeah,
they were winning the entire game until the last minute, and then they lost in overtime.
Yeah, the guy that pretty much equates to Cam Jones for UAB actually broke their school record for all-purpose yards.
Nelson, right?
Jamarcus Nelson.
Yeah,
unfortunately, Troy broke a more impressive record than that. Their quarterback went 32 for 34, something like that. So he broke the NCAA record for completion percentage.
He went 30 for 32, 319, and one touchdown.
Yeah, no interceptions.
Has some sort of record.
Yeah, to say UAB's secondary is looking a little suspect would be a historical understatement.
We play them in the dome, so that's good.
We do. Yep, that's a game that I had as a win, so see how that ends up. So, I think we covered all the Conference USA teams now, right?
Yeah, let's see what before we move on, let's see what good games we have this week, though. Tomorrow we got Florida Atlantic against East Carolina. Florida International against Central Florida. Then we got Oklahoma State against us. Middle Tennessee, North Carolina. We already talked a little about that one. Mm-hmm. South Alabama against Tulane.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, because poor South Alabama. Southern Miss, speaking of poor teams, they play number 22-ranked Nebraska. That should be fun. Marshall plays Gardner Webb. LSU plays the suspect secondary of UAB. North Texas has a pretty good test against up against Ohio. That should be a good game. Tulsa goes up against Colorado State, who lost to Colorado week one. Hopefully Louisiana Tech can bounce back against Lamar. I could see them winning that.
Yeah.
New Mexico goes up against UTEP. That's going to be an interesting game. I don't know what to expect from UTEP.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure New Mexico's quarterback is not going to play in that game due to his concussion.
I think he was already ruled out earlier.
Okay, yeah. So it'll be an interesting measuring stick, but UTEP should win it pretty easy, I would say.
With Showers, right? Is that who they're starting?
Yeah, Jamil Showers from A&M.
Yeah. I got a little heat for not including him in my top five quarterbacks.
I agree with that.
I haven't seen him play, so I couldn't really...
Well, he hasn't played football in 2 or 3 years.
Exactly. I don't know what he's going to do. Like, he might be the next, like, Heisman. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just hard to put a lot of faith in a guy that hasn't played for that long. And kind of like I was saying with Cody Green, just because he signed with A&M, with an AQ school, that doesn't mean 2 years later he's going to be the same guy playing in a non-AQ conference. Like, he would still be at that school if he was that good.
Definitely.
And I know Johnny Manziel ended up winning the Heisman, but to be an upperclassman and lose your job to a freshman in practice, not a very good sign.
No. So... all right, moving on. Do you want to talk about some of the current commitments we got and how they did this week or how they're doing or what do you think of them so far?
Yeah, well, I haven't had the opportunity to check out any guys play in person yet because we don't have any San Antonio commits at this point in time. Yeah, so if we get one of those, I'll be sure to give you guys a really good scouting report. I did check out the Gucci Bowl, which...
Oh, yeah, we went to that.
Yeah, we actually, both of us were there, but...
Yeah,
that's the only high school game I've seen so far this year.
And we lament the fact that UTSA did not get Dimitri Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that was bad. He was the best player. You could tell right off the bat.
Yeah, he's just one of those like gifted athletes that doesn't have a position yet. But if his body grows into what it needs to be for a certain position,
he's gonna be a beast.
Yeah, Boise State got a good one there.
Yeah, definitely. I actually work with his dad. I didn't know that until recently.
Yeah.
Let's see. For the current commits...
I saw Bogan Schutz had a pretty good game.
Yeah, definitely. Their running back, not a lot of people are talking about him. I forgot what his name is. Pepkin, I think his last name is. I think he's going to be really good. I mean, it sucks that we're not taking a running back, really, this year. Mm-hmm. Pipkin, that's his name. But yeah, he did pretty good. I think he got named like Player of the Week or something.
Oh,
some
wow.
Sort of honor. Terry and Goree did pretty good. I mean, I hope we get that guy just because he's good.
Yeah, I think he's up to like 7 offers now. But none of his offers are from schools that UTSA can't out recruit or hasn't done so in the past.
I think the one he got yesterday or a couple days ago was from North Texas, which we already beat them like multiple times.
Yeah, And the fact that he would be able to play with his high school quarterback again in the future is pretty attractive to him, I would assume.
Yeah, definitely.
It seems like they have a good relationship, so.
Yeah. Let's see who else we got. We got Kevin Strong. I think he had a pretty solid game. I think I saw him play. Oh, look at that. I just saw somebody just tweeted Pippin Wood, one athlete of the week, whatever that means. Kevin Strong, I think, had a good first week also. I haven't heard from Cameron Oliver or Neff. I don't know. It's kind of hard to keep track of stats over in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Do they cover football out there? No, just kidding.
I don't know, man. Like, I think I don't even know where they live, honestly. Like,
I couldn't tell you where Owosso is. But, I've never been to Oklahoma.
Sounds some like tornado-ravaged wasteland.
Dude, their stadium looks really legit on their highlight tapes, though.
Oh, yeah,
it looks like a nice little D2 college they play at.
Like, their stadium in Union, I think.
Oh, right? Yeah,
that's
yeah, it's crazy.
Like, that's like Allen.
Yeah, like, it's like the KD of Oklahoma.
But yeah, I mean, they all seem to be having solid starts to their season. Hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah, so...
no injuries, cross your fingers.
If you had to pick one of our current commits that you would say is going to have the biggest impact at UTSA, which one would you pick and why?
Right off the bat, I'm going to have to go with Neff. Mm-hmm. Just because so many wide receivers are leaving pretty soon or next year. He's already 6'4", 205.
6'5".
I mean, 6'5", 205, maybe a little lighter than that. That's already like a college like measurements right there. Like yeah. Some of our receivers aren't even that big.
Yeah, he's the same size as that Taylor kid at Rice that like wrecked on A&M this week.
Exactly. And maybe not his first year, but his second year, once everybody leaves, pair him up with Aaron Taylor, Neff, and if you can get somebody else, like a Goree or a Hartsog, someone to that nature, watch out, man. Like,
yeah, UTSA is going to have a stacked recruiting at wide receiver. So
watch out.
It's a good year for them to have three open spots at wide receiver because there's a lot of guys out there that have good size.
That actually are interested in UTSA. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he's definitely the guy in this class so far. He is probably the most likely to get bumped up to a 3-star recruit. Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, man. I love Oliver. He's like a perfect combination of Miller and Morgan, I think.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And that's just the difference in recruiting for UTSA at this point compared to 2 years ago, is that 2 years ago they'd have to get two guys that could fill both roles and then swap them out. Then you have the disadvantage on the field that you kind of tip your hand when you bring these guys on.
Yeah, like Miller is more of a blocking guy.
Right.
Morgan's a pass-catching tight end, so is Hubble. With Oliver, what you have is a perfect combination of a balanced tight end that can block and that can get the catch a pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty exciting just to see how the program has grown. Where UTSA can go out of state and get a kid that has like 4 or 5 offers. And get them to come down to San Antonio.
Another observation I've made about this small class is, if you notice, like, everybody's almost 6 feet tall.
Yes.
The other one that's, the only one that's not is Kelly, but that's expected for a cornerback.
Right.
Blake is 6 feet, which is, I mean, average for a quarterback, I guess. Then you got Neff at 6'5", 6'4". Oliver is also 6'4", 6'5"-ish. And then Kevin Armstrong's like 6'1", 6'2". Like if you compare that to previous years when, like, we were lucky if we got a 6'2" guy, now it's like, all right, like, everybody's a little bit taller, everybody's already a little bit bigger.
Yeah, if UTSA keeps their success up, they're not going to need to take so many, like, tweener guys that are going to need a year or two in the weight room before they can, like, even crack the depth chart. They're going to be able to get guys like Iguagu's doing this year where they already have, like, a college-ready body physically. And then it's just a matter of them picking up the game on a mental mindset. So once they get that, like, they can step in and play immediately.
Yeah. Before we go into Oklahoma State, do you want to talk about basketball since schedule got released?
Yeah, sure.
Let me pull that up real quick. So, Mackle already got mad at me because I didn't analyze the schedule.
Oh, man. 30 minutes without an analyzation. Come on. You need to do your job.
I was actually working when he tweeted me that. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, so...
Work, man. I mean, I'll do it, though. I'm going to do it. I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting because of the schedule.
Mm-hmm. It's probably the worst kept secret in a while.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, usually they're pretty hard to keep track of, but this year it seems like they didn't really care if people found out. Probably because we're not playing anybody worth playing.
Yeah, true though.
Alright, we start the season with an exhibition against Southeastern Oklahoma State. Didn't we play them last year or a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah, they were that school. I think we actually had an exhibition against them last year, but my memory that I took home from that game is that their mascot or their logo looked exactly like a Pokemon. what is the like huge like lightning bird? You know what I'm talking about?
Hold on. I'm gonna Google Southeastern Oklahoma State. Is that
okay?
Southeastern. Look at that. I have to like type in the whole thing there.
I know. Yes.
It is. It's like a, what is it? I forgot the name. Sapodos.
Yes, that's it. I was Googling lightning bird Pokemon. That's a low point in my life.
Don't judge me.
No.
I don't know how I know that. I just remember.
Okay, so we're playing a Pokemon team first game.
Should be an easy win. And we start off the season November 9th in the Convocation Center against Northern Arizona. I have no idea who that is.
I'm trying to think of what they were in the conference that a lot of WAC, a lot of schools that are now in the WAC are in, like with Weber State,
the Lumberjacks,
Utah Valley. I think is it the Great West?
They're in the Big Sky. That's not a bad conference.
No, yeah, it's a decent little mid-major basketball.
Yeah, better than the Southland, North Dakota, all those teams.
Right. Yeah. So I couldn't tell you anything about the personnel of the team, but just judging from the conference, they're not going to be a total pushover.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good opener.
Yeah. So then.
Then the second game of the season at Houston, that should be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I have to see the team first, but I don't think we win that one.
No, I highly doubt it. Houston's really got some athletes on their squad this coming up year, so.
Then we open up a 3-game homestand against McMurray, UTPA, and then A&M Corpus Christi. All those are pretty winnable.
Yeah, should be three easy wins right there for sure.
UTPA's in the WAC now, so good for them.
Yep.
Then we have a 3-game road trip against Nichols. Wow. Texas Tech, which is a pretty big deal, and then another game against UTPA at UTPA. We should go 2-for-3 right there.
Yeah, I think so. As far as a Big 12 school goes, Texas Tech is probably one of the more winnable ones that we can schedule.
I mean, if we could upset somebody, it would be Texas Tech.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the team will be at that level, but if they do click early in the season and they have some good momentum going in, I mean, who knows? That could be a nice signature win.
We have yet another three game homestand against Cal State Bakersfield, Georgia State, and the Tech Mayberry's Cameron University. If you guys don't know, that's where Tech Mayberry transferred to
after
his short stint with the basketball program.
Yeah, I can tell you Georgia State's going to be a tough game. I'd probably put that one down as a loss for right now. The coach's son... I think Ron Hunter is the coach. I'm not sure what his son's name is, but he's a stud, man. He was a 3-star recruit out of high school and decided to play for his dad. They're going to be a handful in that game, especially since we have some questions at the point guard position. I think he'll be able to score at ease in that game.
Then before we start conference play, we have a road trip up to Arkansas, so that should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Arkansas basketball, but I know that SEC basketball in and of itself is not too impressive.
I mean, we almost beat Mississippi State, and that was just the worst game in the world to watch.
Oh yeah, we didn't even play well, and we almost beat them. Yeah, so who knows?
We start Conference USA with Marshall, Charlotte. I mean, both very good teams.
Mm-hmm. Probably two losses for sure right there.
Then you go UAB, Middle Tennessee, UTEP. Maybe UAB. That's about it. Middle Tennessee's good. UTEP's good.
Yeah, no chance in those two.
Rice, Louisiana Tech. Maybe. I mean, we could beat Rice. Yeah. Maybe, possibly. Louisiana Tech. We beat them up last year in the tournament. Who knows? Then we get Old Dominion, East Carolina on the road. Old Dominion, we beat last year, but they fired their coach. And
yeah, that was a down year for them. Uncharacteristic.
Yeah. East Carolina, I have no idea if they're good or not.
Mm-mm. No clue.
Then we go to Florida. Oh, actually, no, the Florida schools come here. FIU and Florida Atlantic in San Antonio, February 13th and 15th. I don't know if they're good, honestly. I don't keep up with them. They were in this, I don't know. Then we get Southern Mississippi and Tulane on the road, North Texas at home, Tulsa on the road, and then we finish the season in San Antonio March 6th with the game against UTEP.
Yeah.
We are not going to win.
So. Hey, never say never.
No, we're not going to win.
Isaac Hamilton isn't playing this year, so that kind of takes away from that scare.
They still got like three other 4-star guys.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of hard.
Yeah. And then conference tournament would be in El Paso, and Conference USA, I'm pretty sure, takes all teams to the conference tournament.
Speaking of, they should have asked you to, since you're into the logo designing business, to design their logo, man. That thing was horrible.
Yeah, oh, God, disgusting. You guys search for Conference USA basketball tournament logo. let me know what you see when you find it, because it damn well does look like a basketball conference tournament.
I mean, if the words Conference USA and El Paso aren't on them, I think it's in China or Japan or something.
Right. Yeah, so if you want to spend your spring break in El Paso, feel free to make the trip. Just stay out of Juarez.
If you watch The Bridge, you don't want to go there, man. They chop you in half.
Yeah, me and Javi started watching The Bridge. I just caught up on the trip back from New Mexico.
Fantastic show. I have DVR'd it.
It's on at 9. On tonight. Yeah, I'm going to watch it on Hulu tomorrow.
Yeah, I haven't watched the episode from last week, so I'm going to watch that.
It was a good one. Pretty crazy.
I bet. Yeah, it's a very underrated show. I wish more people would talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to... The ratings are doing pretty well for a first-year show, so I think it's going to catch on. I think it's going to be a pretty big show.
I mean, me being from Mexico, like, the Mexican actor in that, he's like... one of the best actors in Mexico.
Right,
like,
yeah.
He's legit. And then the girl, the main character girl.
Sonia?
Sonia, yeah. Like, she did a great job in, I think she was in Inglourious Basterds.
I'm not sure.
She's a very, like, world-renowned actress. Like, I'm kind of surprised she did this. And she's a great actress, man. Like, I watch it with my dad sometimes, and we're just, like, at awe of her acting.
Yeah, anytime an actress is able to portray a character with a mental illness but not make it look, like, corny, you get a lot of respect for me.
Man. Like, respect, like, to the max.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Homeland, you would really love The Bridge because it's the same writing staff, and it kind of has a similar aspect of a female lead suffering from a mental illness. So it's a pretty cool show to check out.
Really, if you have any ties to, like, South Texas,
brother, right? Yeah,
like,
you can relate to a lot.
Man, like, you would love it. It's like you're right down your alley.
Yeah, probably like 25 to 45% of the show is in Spanish with subtitles, which I like a lot. Even though I speak like minimal Spanish, just kind of enough to like get by. You know what I mean? But
it doesn't really like bother. Like sometimes it's like, you know, subtitles really get in the way, but in this show it doesn't it's never like, oh man, subtitles.
Right, yeah. And I think it would take away from the show if they were speaking in English.
Yeah. There's only one bad actor in that show, like that I just hate.
Which one?
The main drug dealer guy. The guy that always was, he like shot up a guy not too long ago. Like, I don't enjoy killing.
Gotcha. I kind of
he's a god. Like, he only speaks in Spanish. Like, mostly he's a god. Just believe me, he's bad.
Really? Okay. Like, I kind of liked him so far, but
yeah. I mean, yeah. His Spanish. I mean, his Spanish is good in the sense that he's from Mexico and stuff.
Yeah.
But just like the thing he says, they're just like bad.
Gotcha.
But I mean, that's the only blemish with the show, really. Everything else is just like top notch.
Yeah, and like right now the show is them tracking a serial killer going across the border, so the cops have to kind of cooperate between El Paso and Juarez, and there's a lot of like cultural tension and political tension right there. But the showrunners have said that pretty much they're going to end the serial killer plot line in season one, and then in further seasons they're kind of going to explore more issues that center around the border, which I'm very excited about because there are just like endless opportunities gripping crazy stories
you read about in the news,
just real life stuff that they could put into a dramatic fashion.
I mean, so many characters too, like you can create out of. Alright, well, moving on, I think we should probably get started in Oklahoma State this week.
Yeah. Oh, before we get carried away by Oklahoma State, I just wanted to mention that volleyball starts off their home schedule tomorrow.
They have against Florida of all teams.
Yeah, doubleheader. Let's see. Got number 9 Florida at 4:30, and they also play Lamar at 11 a.m.
Ooh, I might. Wait, I think I can go see that. I got out of class.
Yeah, I'll be at the Lamar game, but I'm going to miss the Florida game because I'm a good student. You know, also have a quiz, so I can't really miss class.
You're going to miss Lamar? Yeah, I think I'm going to just make it over there since I don't have anything else to do.
Cool. Well, keep me updated with tweets and what have you.
All I mean, if you don't really keep up, they started the season 1-3, losing to LSU, San Diego State, and beating UC Davis in the Tiger Classic.
Yeah, all three are pretty tough teams.
Yeah.
So
not a bad start.
Yeah, UTSA's holding on. They haven't been swept by any of the teams they've played so far. So.
Which is a very good sign.
Yeah, so definitely.
Actually, UTSA was picked second in Conference USA.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, tied for second, I think. So they'll be a strong competitor.
Yeah, so. And then on Friday they play A&M at 7. So dang, look at that.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna go to Pub Run this year.
Oh yeah, yeah. You just commented that. I mean, the fact that we have SEC schools coming to UTSA is pretty cool. Especially Florida, I mean, that's a pretty long trip.
Yeah, and they're number 9 in the country. Yep. Good Lord.
Yeah, it should be a good year for volleyball, man. We have a pretty legit team. I think Mackenzie Adams already won Player of the Week.
Yeah, they're returning a lot of experience. They had some attrition, but not from anyone that was a huge contributor.
And they still got Jared's girl, what's her name? Kunis.
Oh, yes. Oh, man, she's a stud. Y'all got to check her out.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Did. Yeah, for a team that had a lot of chemistry last year, and then to retain most of their talent, like they're going to be a tough team for any program, really.
So. Yeah, and hey, have you looked at their new uniforms? They're pretty legit.
No, I have not seen them yet.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Cool. I mean, Adidas, or I think they're Adidas at least.
Yeah, I saw the new basketball shoes, the Adidas shoes that the basketball team's going to wear.
Yeah. Oh, they were good, man.
Yeah, they look nice. Good. I'm not a huge Adidas guy. Usually side with Nike, but man, those shoes look sick.
Yeah. I have a hard time finding good Adidas, like shoes or anything. Yeah. Oh, speaking of, like, before we go on Oklahoma State, I cannot find a white shirt to wear, UTSA shirt to wear to the game. I can't seem to find one. Like, the ones at the bookstore suck.
I think I'm going to be super DIY hipster and make my own shirt with the stencil.
Last minute tie-dye shit going on?
Well, I want to get a come-and-take-it shirt, but okay. I don't know how easy it would be to find one, and B, it would have, like, zero relevance to UTSA from an outsider's perspective. Like, people in the program know about the connection and our gloves and the flag and all that stuff, but I still want to have something UTSA on there. So I think I'm just going to be artsy and make my own shirt.
I'm going to go to the Spirit store tomorrow, the one under the garage, and see if I can find anything there. If not, I might just wear an orange shirt because I don't care.
Yeah, the whiteout is not going to work. It's going to be awful. No.
Like, they're not even shilling shirts for it, really.
Yeah, the shirts that they do have are, like, super ugly. Like, I would never, ever wear that.
Yeah, I actually had it as my, like, header picture on Twitter, and then I was like, oh, this is pretty bad.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think? Gonna be a pretty tough game, obviously. But,
Yeah.
But before we started recording, Javi kind of mentioned that he didn't think that our fan base was, like, mentally prepared for, like, an ass-whipping.
Yeah. I mean, it's not to say that we aren't, like, ready for it, but if you, like, read through, like, Twitter and Facebook and I just personally, I get the feeling that people are hyping themselves up for the chance. I mean, this is going to be like winning the lottery. Like, you're going to have to need players to get hurt, like tip interceptions, fumbles, whatever, like, You're gonna need the ghost of David Crockett to, like, come to the Alamo Dome and, like, do something for us to be able to have a chance at winning. I don't know. It's just it sucks to say it because I want them to win so bad, but I have to, like, mentally prepare myself for, like, last year Utah State and San Jose State, like the right. Like the ass whooping we got from them.
Yeah, to me, like, I don't think anyone's going to hold it against UTSA if they get beat pretty bad.
And they shouldn't, like...
No, absolutely not. I think if you get into, like, a Savannah State area where it's, like, 75-5 or something ridiculous like that, then, yeah, I think UTSA is going to take some flack. But for any, like...
If it's, like, 40-10 even, I think that would be okay.
I don't think many people would really, like, rag on UTSA for that, considering that Oklahoma State's, you know, a favorite to win the Big 12.
Yeah.
It's not like they're just some random AQ team coming in here. So.
Yeah. I mean, they have a hell of a team.
They have really no weakness at any position.
No, I mean, if you read Inside UTSA at all, Wes did a great breakdown of position by position, like a breakdown of like who had a better, like who has the better players at each position. I think we only won the tight end, and I think punt or kick return Kenny Harrison.
Yeah,
and that's about it. Like, that's not gonna win any. That's not gonna win a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a talent thing that would help us, like, have an upset. Like, no big upset that has ever happened is because the team that was the underdog had more talent.
Yeah,
it's just, never. You know, a matter of coaching and...
I mean, look at the North Dakota State last week with Kansas State. I mean, you cannot tell me that Kansas State didn't have the better players. I mean, North Dakota just had a better game plan, better execution.
Yeah, it's just motivation and execution, really,
is what it comes down to. Which, the thing is that we have it, though. Like, the team's going to have it. Like, they're going to come out flying the first quarter. Like, they're going to hit people. They're going to, like, they're going to compete, man. And that's really all we can ask for from them is to compete.
Yeah, I mean, the Dome is going to be rocking. The players are going to be fired up. I really don't think Oklahoma State knows what they're going to step into in the Alamo Dome. I think that they have the perception that they're going to come play some podunk, practically D2 team in an empty stadium. So I think there's a good chance that, you know, UTSA could come out and kind of sock them in the mouth early on.
Kind of like Rice against A&M, like...
Right, yeah.
First,
yeah, just kind of catch them off guard. Like, obviously, they've seen the tape, and they've seen that UTSA is not an awful team. But I don't think that they're mentally prepared for a dogfight.
And I think they're genuinely concerned about Sosa and Cam. Like, if you read their previews and stuff, like, Sosa and Cam come up in every single one.
Yeah, as they should, because those are the guys that could play, you know, at that level.
Yeah, definitely. Like Sosa, like, he's getting a reputation for being, like, this playmaking leader for this team, which is great, really.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's what he is, really. I mean, he's the definition of a field general. It's what Sosa is.
Yeah, and he's, you know, just savvy. Like, he's not going to beat you with his arm or really with his feet too much, but he's going to beat you with his vision of the field, with his knowledge of the playbook, with his perception of your tendencies, and that's pretty scary, especially for, you know, any team that might have some question marks.
If we get the second half Eric Sosa from last week, we're going to be pretty good. I mean, we might put up, like, maybe
17-20. Yeah, something maybe, like that.
If we're lucky.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, switching over to the defense, though, they're going to pick us apart easy, like, every time.
Yeah, I mean, you can just pray for some turnovers, really.
Yeah, like, hopefully, like, somebody tips the ball, like, I don't know, something.
I mean, any given Saturday, man, crazier things have happened.
Yeah. I mean, look at Oregon State loss to Eastern Washington or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I'm trying to say, it's not impossible. Don't get me wrong. Like, don't think, like, I'm like, oh, what a Debbie Downer. But I'm just trying to be realistic.
Right.
But, like, it's possible. Is it? Like, heck yeah. Like, UTSA can come out, like, go be up 14-0 and then, like, contain Oklahoma State enough where it's like a one position game at the end. And if it's that, then who knows, man? Like, Shauna Ano can kick like 60-yard field goals here. So, like, who knows?
I think something that a lot of people haven't given enough thought to is how extremely, extremely rare it is for a team that's ranked in the top 15 to play on the road against a non-AQ. Out of conference,
like when do you, it's practically when do you ever unheard of. See it, man. Like, when do you, like, when's the last time you ever, like, heard of that?
A&M played Louisiana Tech last year, but that was on a neutral, well, technically a neutral field because it was in Shreveport. But in, like, in a home stadium, that, like, just does not happen.
Which is great, like, leverage for UTSA moving forward.
Yeah, and in future games too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean. Let me look really quick. Their Oklahoma State quarterback, the sophomore J.W. Walsh, is going to do pretty good.
Yeah, he's probably the first quarterback UTSA has seen that runs a legit 4.4 second 40.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, I think it's the best or even second best QB we've had at the Dome to maybe David Fales of San Jose or
Chucky Keaton
of Utah State. I don't know where to put him. Maybe second, third. No.
Yeah, it's hard to compare him to Fales because Fales is like excellent
in
the
pro.
Yeah, in the pocket. Yeah. Whereas Walsh is like gonna kill you with the option game.
Speaking of him, real quick, like we might have seen like an NFL quarterback play that day, and nobody really noticed.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people have him getting drafted as high as like 10.
Yeah, I mean, he has a hell of an arm.
Oh, absolutely, man! Like he made us pay on every small mistake.
Yep.
Right.
I remember their big ass tight end, man. That was a big guy.
Oh yeah, what was his name?
Grisby.
Yep.
No. Yeah, Grisby. Something like
that. Yeah, pretty sure it's Grisby. Yeah, so that team was good, man. They're a lot better than most people gave them credit for.
Oh, you know what I am excited about, though, is the tailgating.
Yes, let's talk about tailgating. What are your plans?
Oh, well, I'm going to be with Mike and Wes and Maddie. If you guys don't know, Maddie just started up his new business. What was it, tailgatesa.com?
Yes, sir.
Pretty legit, man. I'm happy for him. He's a master of the smoking of meats, any kinds, he will smoke it for you, I think. That's his motto or something like that.
I designed a cool little logo for him. So if y'all want to grab a koozie from him, say Jared sent you. He's supposed to buy me McDonald's for mentioning this on the podcast. So make sure you hold that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully
we can persuade him from McDonald's, maybe Whataburger. I'm not a big fan of McDonald's.
I mean, we're giving him some serious publicity here, you know?
Yeah, dude. Go follow his site, man.
Yeah. Actually, I think that he mentioned that you were going to drive to El Paso with us.
We were talking about it today. I was at work, so I couldn't really get into details. But I might. I don't know if you're going. I think you told me.
Yeah, I'm in for sure. I'm planning on going either way. So.
Yeah, I think I might be. I just have to request off Sunday, and as long as we come back Sunday, I think I'll be good to go. I need to like see what the homework situation is going to be like. But
school.
Losers.
If you're gonna be at the game in El Paso and you have access to a grill, please let our man Matty work his magic on your grill.
Yeah, because he will, like I said, he will smoke your meat. I think that should be his like motto. I will smoke your meat. Something like that. I don't know.
Quick aside, I just got an update from the Block SA, and they are opening tomorrow, which will be their grand opening. On Thursdays, they're going to have $2 Ziegen Box, $2 Tecate, and $2 Tecate Light all night.
Let's go, man.
You can bet your ass that you can see me out there.
Let's get some, like chips and salsa going and drink some Tecate. Let's go.
Yeah. Current food truck lineup is Chela's Tacos, which I think most people at UTSA call it the Red Taco Truck. It's kind of known. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Lagniappe today? Something like that? I don't know. Italian? Asian? Something? I don't know.
Italian? Whatever.
Stout's Pizza?
Oh, I saw them when I went. They were pretty good.
Yeah.
They had a lot of people.
La Fondita?
Mexican food, I think.
I assume, yes. Slider Provider? It's a cool name. And then Sawit Cupcakes, which are some of the best cupcakes in San Antonio, so I've been told.
That's a pretty legit lineup, man.
Yeah, so you guys should definitely check it out. I know we've been pumping it hard.
Your Tecate or whatever.
Actually, I had my first Tecate in New Mexico because I usually
Lone Star. Speaking of Tecate, you know who likes Tecate is UTSA grad 19 something. I saw him tweet a picture of him drinking a Tecate.
Really?
He's a big advocate of Mexican beers.
Lone Star is like my go-to tailgating beer. So when I was in Albuquerque, I realized, well, they don't sell Lone Star here.
So that's true.
I had to indulge myself in a Tecate. That's all right. That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a bigger fan of the light Tecate light, but I mean, I'm down with Tecate.
Yeah.
Of course, when I'm able to drink, I'm not advocating for underage
drinking. Just throw that out. Oh man, they're gonna have to change our. Our podcast introduction, like they made us change our blog name.
Oh yeah.
this podcast did not support the use of minors and alcohol.
Hey, it's only a month. Everybody come now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I grudged it early.
Alright, so we got pretty sidetracked there. But,
yeah, very, very much sidetracked. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the tailgating, man. Like, I've been trying to retweet as much as I can all the students that are going.
Mm-hmm.
The students caught some heat last year from some of the alums from not showing up, but I think that this year is going to be a little bit different. I think students are going to show up.
Yeah, I knocked that whole Rowdy Rush thing when that was an idea, just because I hate when schools like rip off other schools and like take their kind of MO. Yeah, so Baylor had been doing this Rowdy or Baylor Rush thing or whatever they call it for a while. Pretty much what it is the freshmen all come in for orientation and they signed up to join it. And then they get like a personalized jersey that they wear on game days. And before the game, they like come out and run out of the tunnel with the team. And now this is something that UTSA has picked up.
Honestly, I don't really care as long as it gets people to go.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it gets students to go, sure, why not?
Yeah, and the freshman class is definitely fired up about football. Like, yeah, way more than everyone
else. That's
what
they did last year, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, but you can definitely tell there's a change in their attitude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, each class that comes into UTSA,
it gets better.
It's just going to be better each year.
That's exactly what I've been telling people, like, just give it, like, 3 or 4 more years, and it's going to be, we're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Yeah, so go check us out. We're going to be there with Maddie. I think you're going to be roaming around. You told me you're going to be visiting.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I thought I was, but then I figured out that, like, Schaefer and Mike and all those guys were all together with Maddie, like, in a centralized location.
Yeah, we're going to have a giant barbecue. Already.
Yeah, so you can find me next to that Freetail keg. Hopefully they have La Rubia, which is my favorite.
Which I will not have drinking, by the way, since I got that.
Yeah, so y'all be sure to come out. Don't bring any beer. Like, they're going to have plenty of beer. Just, like, bring some meat or, like, brownies or some other crap.
Brownies?
I'm not advocating for anything illegal in the brownies. I just want some brownies. Like,
that's something odd to bring to a tailgate, brownies.
Well, it's something that's often overlooked because you had a lot of the guys, they're going to bring their brats, hot dogs, brisket, whatever.
Oh, speaking of, since we have student seating, me and Jared, like, are you planning on getting in early or late?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What do you think is the best approach to that?
Well, for this game, I'm going to go in as soon as the gates open, just because if you're not in a student organization and you're a student, you're not going to get a good seat unless you're there when the gates open.
So. I kind of want to sit in the middle club level. I've never sat there before.
Yeah, I might actually sit with Rowdy Crew for this game.
Whoa.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
I mean, I'm down. Like, I just want to sit with people I know, so I'm just like a loner.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard for me because I always bring people to the games with me. Like, I always bring people that either don't know many people that go to UTSA, don't go to UTSA, just never been to a game before. I always try to bring someone with me to, like, experience it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have to deal with having extra seats.
You know, if anybody needs extra student tickets, I have 3 more. I just lost my first one, I think, to JM, so...
Yeah,
if you guys need some student tickets, just hit up one of my many Twitter accounts that I have.
This is actually going to be the first time I've sold out of all of my student tickets.
Even, yeah, I mean, that's good, man. That's a good thing.
And that's a common theme from everyone I've talked to. Like, I know a lot of people that are coming in from Houston that have friends at UTSA, and they're like, hey, this is going to be a big game. Like, I got nothing else to do, so I'm going to come into town. So I really think we're going to surpass that 45,000 number, man. There's just too much buzz.
I keep my eye on here. I'm going to look it up real quick. I always keep my eye on Ticketmaster, even though it's not that reliable. It gives me a good, like, bar to see how the tickets are selling.
Yeah.
I think people are underestimating the walk-up crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I've a lot of people in my HEB, that's where I work, by the way, They're talking about it, man. Like, and there's people that I know don't have season tickets.
Yeah.
So I think the 2,000 mark that somebody threw it out there. I think it's gonna be more than that. I think it's gonna be close to like 5,000, maybe. Like, I mean, what else is there to do? On, like, you know, like, if you want to watch some like D1 football, like, if you want to watch a top like 25 team play, why not?
Yeah, my parents are going to get a hotel room downtown this weekend, and my mom said that, like, a lot of stuff is already completely booked. She said there was one hotel that she was looking at, and then she, like, switched over to another tab to look at another hotel, and then whenever she came back to the first one, it already been sold out in a span of, like, 30 minutes.
Doesn't, like, someone you know work there, Eric, right?
Yeah, my friend Eric works valet at the Grand Hyatt, and he said that, like...
He said
everyone that works downtown, like, in the hotel industry, they're all prepared to be, like, completely sold out of hotels.
Yeah,
so it's going to be huge, man. I think the 45,000 number, they're kind of selling it, so they'd be like, oh, we had so many more people than we expected, and San Antonio has great support and all this stuff.
Yeah, Like, they just opened up the section, the opposite side sections on Ticketmaster, and they're already getting chewed up, man. Like, I can tell, like, the middle ones already, people are buying tickets.
Yeah, and so, I mean, think they
Wednesday, give it a couple more days, people were, like, last minute, people, like, thought to buy tickets. Like, I don't know, it's going to be exciting.
I think they opened that section up for the Texas State game last year, but outside of that, not many.
That side never gets open.
Yeah. I'm going to take a brief look at the tickets here.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, just go to Ticketmaster and then type in UTSA football, and it'll have all the games. Just go to find tickets, and they have a pretty cool interactive map where you can see, like, which tickets are taken. It gives you a pretty good outlook. If you get a chance, look at it. Like, the lower bowl was almost sold out.
Yeah, those will all get sold out by game day.
Yeah. And then the ones that are there is a lot, the upper sections, but the middle upper is almost gone. And they're just getting chewed out little by little. Yeah. They give the students a pretty big section. I don't know if it's bigger than last year. I don't think so.
No. I mean, a part of the section is the band, so it takes up a good amount of it.
True. The corner. One of my friends from Texas State actually told me that don't be surprised if we run out of student seats. Because he asked me what happens if we run out of student seats. And I honestly didn't know what to say because that's never happened.
Yeah. I don't know. They have that third corner reserved, but I don't know if they've used it much.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever, unless it's like we're like ranked. Or
yeah, if we're ranked and we're playing another ranked team in the conference championship or something like that. But.
Or we're playing Alabama.
Yeah, so wouldn't be too worried about that.
Yeah.
So. Anything as far as, like, on-field stuff that, like, you want to point out? We talked about Walsh for a minute, obviously.
Walsh, yeah, man, he's a pretty good quarterback. He's a dual threat kind of guy. I mean, he'll beat you throwing, but if you pressure him, he's going to run out of the pocket and pick up the first down.
Yeah, he's from Denton Guyer. His dad's a coach there. Obviously,
I think Larry mentioned that he recruited him.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't get much interest back. But
back in the day, UTSA wasn't really.
Yeah. So on defense, senior linebacker Caleb Levy
he won Defensive Player of the Week last week.
Yeah. First Cowboy to win the league's weekly defensive honor since Sean Lewis in 2011.
That's always good to hear.
Yeah, so obviously Oklahoma State's defense is going to be vastly improved.
Yeah, and then they have that cornerback that I forgot to mention on my five players to watch. I don't know. I guess I left them off my notes.
Yeah, I know they have one cornerback that's predicted to get drafted fairly high.
Yeah, I totally missed him. That was my bad.
Yeah. So...
It sucks that we can't point out to our good players because our good players aren't as good as their good players.
Yeah, they're just going to be overshadowed.
Oh. Yeah, like Brian Price and Mayberry and Wade and Johnston, they're good Conference USA players.
Mm-hmm.
But they're lucky, like if they're lucky, like special teams guys in Big 12.
Well, I think we have
maybe
some guys.
Maybe some.
Yeah, we have some guys that would have played. Like obviously, Mabry would have found his way into the starting lineup at some point in his career at Oklahoma State. Probably not the way he did at UTSA, where he's essentially a 4-year starter. But you know, I think a guy like Cam Jones would get snaps at Oklahoma State. Maybe Kenny Harrison. Maybe I don't know. Kind of pushing it.
Oh man, he needs to return. Like he needs that chance to return something. He didn't get anything last week. He needs to like get a punt or something.
Yeah, well, that'd probably be a common theme throughout the year. I don't think too many people are going to want to kick to that
guy.
They
legitimately punted away from him, which is awesome, I think.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, I don't know. Any funny or cool chants you want to see the student section break out?
Just don't do the wave is my
God, don't do the wave. If you do the wave, just unfollow us and never read this blog again. Just go home.
Disassociate yourself from anything UTSA.
Yeah. I mean,
don't get me wrong, I love it at soccer games because, you know, I go to a lot of soccer games, but aside from that, just don't bring that in here.
Yeah, let's try to be smarter. Let's be original.
I'm excited to see the luchador guy.
Oh, yes, forgot about
Dude,
that man.
He's like, he's my buddy, man. Like, I respect that guy. He was there from game one.
Yeah.
He's legit, man. I wish we could get him on Twitter and be like, UTSA luchador guy or something.
La Lucha Libre de UTSA.
Exactly. Like, that could be his bio.
Yeah. So I really hope no one starts the "I'm a man, I'm 40" chant. Like, come on, let's let it go. That was like five years ago.
I mean, if we're getting our ass kicked, it's kind of hard. But yeah, that would be a creative one if we were up like by a touchdown. Let's see what else. Yeah, hopefully we can come up with some good chants. I hope we get on that. I hope the cheer team work on that in the off season.
Yeah, that's something that's been missing from the student section for a while. And, you know, honestly, it'll probably several more years before we have, like, a cheering student section. Like, right now, it's just everyone's drunk, slamming on the seats, which is awesome. It's fun, but...
Yeah, and I mean, it's cool. But I think we're going to get towels, I heard.
For, like, the HEB
towels, yeah. So be ready to wave those around for a quarter.
Cool. So...
Yeah. I hope they sold shirts, but nope, doesn't look like it.
So the whiteout's gonna be a massive fail, so don't even get too occupied about that.
Yeah, if you don't have a white shirt, I mean, it's not the end of the world. I mean, still look for one, but if you can't find it, no big deal.
Alright, well, I think we're about wrapping it up. We're like 20 minutes over an hour here, probably one of our longest podcast ever, but...
Yeah, it's all about
Tecate
talk, man.
Hey, we covered a lot. Pretty good podcast.
You guys didn't podcast for 2 weeks. We had a lot.
I know. Yeah, we had to take care of business.
And we didn't even talk about, like, recruiting, really. We just, like, grazed over the guys we already have.
Hey, man. I mean, recruiting season will come back, so.
Yeah,
it's nice to talk about real football for once.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just excited, man. I've been waiting for this game since the end of last season.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, I want to thank Javi again for coming on fairly short notice and taking a lot more of his time away from his own schedule than I figured he would. This is a long podcast, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Like, whenever you guys want to have me on, I'm down. As long as I'm not busy, I'm down to do these anytime.
All right, great. Well, thanks again, and you can find both of us at the tailgate with tailgatesa.com on Saturday, bright and early. I'll be there around 7. What about you?
I think I'm leaving my house around 7. So I should be there at 7:30. If anybody needs a ride, let me know.
Cool.
I'll be down and pick anybody up. I have a couple seats in the car.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks again, and go Runners.
Yeah.